Well, we love the Kingdom School of Ministry. We're just so excited about a whole other round. And don't worry about COVID-19 or anything. We'll work around it. Just encourage everyone that would like to come and try it out to do it. It might be a great opportunity. Some of you just sort of take 9 months or 10 months out of your life and just really begin to dig deep in your walk with God, and also what He wants for you. Who are you? And maybe what He has for you in the way of ministry. So anyway, so grateful for that school. It's been going on for a number of years and just gets better and better. I want to talk today about the Joseph Company. And by the way, I mentioned our Marketplace prayer meeting. We've been doing that for a long time as well, and it's on Zoom. And I just encourage anyone who would like to come, come. We had 50 people or so last time. And we just pray over all kinds of things. But it's so specific, and we just see so many miracles happen with regard to our finances. It's all about finances, all about our jobs and job-related things. Everybody likes to pray about that, especially when you see miracles happen, which we see quite often. All right, so I want to just begin with talking about Joseph. We'll be in Genesis 37 and all that whole environment there. And it's hard to believe is sometimes when you read about the Bible characters and think, wow, these guys lived thousands of years ago. Joseph, to be exact, about 4,000 years ago, but the lessons of his life still speak so loudly. It's amazing how God allows these characters to be so loud and vivid in our life as they represent, as we represent God in the middle of our own worldwide crisis. You know that Joseph was on the edge of one. He actually predicted it and lived through it. And so he's sort of a prophetic figure. And his life, though, has elements in it that are very encouraging. And I was just reading through and I just saw some things in that that I wanted to communicate here this morning. So Joseph lived with a sense of identity and promotion and favor on his life. And part of that came from his earthly father, who just loved him so much, and actually the Bible says actually favored him. And then also from God-given supernatural dreams that he kept having that made him feel like he was a person of destiny, that something was going on there that was going to happen, that good was going to happen to them. And all of this was symbolized by this beautiful multicolored robe. I kind of have my multicolored shirt on here today, but it was like a beautiful robe he wore. And of course, his brothers hated that robe because they felt like his father, their father was favoring him, but he loved that robe, wore it everywhere he went. It was sort of like his identity, but it was more than an identity as a son of Jacob. It was his identity as actually a very blessed person. He had a real understanding of who he was, and it really helped him later on in his life. Also got him into some big trouble early in his life, as we're going to see. An interesting thing about Joseph, even his name means he shall add. So he was always looking for addition. He was always looking for blessing and expecting it. And it really got tested because his brothers did him in. They hated him and they sold him to be a slave in Egypt. And we'll get to that in a moment. Before we do that, I just want to read these first few verses. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17. Now remember, he was 17 years old. That's amazing to me. Was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. That's not good. Tattling on your brothers. Not go over very good at all. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." You can imagine what they're thinking. And they say it in the next line, "Do you really intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. But not too smart. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. I'm sure you guys will listen to it this time, because this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." Do you get it? When he told his brother, as well as his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. And so his brothers hated him so much that he was sold as a slave in Egypt, and he ended up with a man named Potiphar. And Potiphar was an official in Egypt, and he had a wife who actually lusted after Joseph got him in big trouble, and before Joseph knew it, he ended up in a dungeon. He was literally in prison. So not only did he get sold in slavery, he ends up in prison. So much for all this, these words he had. You know, you ever had that happen to you? You feel like you get all these words of prosperity, how God's going to do this and that, and sometimes it goes the other way. Matter of fact, I've had it happen where people give me that and it actually go the other way. So sometimes I like get a word like that and I go, uh-oh, is this going to be okay or not, you know? And it's always going to be okay. This word is actually about it being okay. But the thing is, you have an enemy of your soul, not just enemies people-wise, but spiritual enemies that do not want you to reach your destiny, your spiritual destiny. And so these enemies fight against you. So if you get a word or something positive or you feel like you're going somewhere, a person of favor, and don't be surprised if it gets challenged from time to time. And this is exactly what happened to Joseph. So he suffered greatly, but his relationship with the Lord kept him spiritually responsive. He stayed alive on the inside, even though everything on the outside was dying and dead. And actually, his spiritual relationship with the Lord kept him wise and positive in the most negative of situations. So this is really, really important when we get in bad situations. You can't let your inside die even when your outside isn't doing so well. Because it's from the inside that God changes things. It's from our relationship with Him that He changes things. And it also helps us to understand when He's going to change the season and also what to look for in terms of getting out of trouble. So God will work with us even when we're in a negative place. You become a real part of your own miracle as long as you don't let your insides go dark. And sometimes He helps us even when our insides go dark. But I've found over and over again, when I get in a negative situation, whatever I got to do, whatever's happening, I've got to make sure, whether I'm in the dungeon or wherever at, I can't let my inside die. And so Joseph didn't let that happen to him. He stayed positive. He was able, even in the midst of all of this, and so he became a faithful steward for the prison warden, just as he had been a faithful to a Potiphar in his house. Matter of fact, if we read the scriptures with regard to Potiphar, God gave Joseph success in everything he did. I'll tell you, it didn't come from being depressed and discouraged and feeling like a worm all the time. He just began to use his natural and his supernatural gifts anyway. And so here he is in prison, and the same thing happens. And God gives him his own authority. And there's just something I want to underline here really powerfully. When we serve someone else, God gives us something of our own. This is a very powerful principle. And so he became a faithful steward. This happens in every area of life. He's stewarding. He's actually watching over someone else's. And the Lord gave him his own authority. This happens on the job. This happens in also every area of life. When you're faithful in a few things, God puts you in charge of more, and sometimes a lot more. And so as we read Genesis chapter 39, I'm going to read verses 20 to 23 here. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. Now remember, the Lord was with him, but also the Lord never left him. So the real question here is whether Joseph was going to be with the Lord. And he did. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. Really amazing. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So God and Joseph's faithfulness gave him his own authority, even if it was in the dungeon. And could I just say that's one of the ways we get out of difficult situations. We become faithful in that situation. We rule whatever we can in that situation. We are faithful with it. We use our spiritual gifts. We don't die on the inside, because the kingdom of God always works from the inside out. And this Joseph was kind of person. Even though he got tested severely, you would think like this rich kid who was sort of snobby and proud and everything, in the midst of his trouble, he rose up from the inside and became quite a man of God. He did not forget the gifting God had given him and recognized the answer to his situation. And I call this a wisdom path when it presented itself. Now, we're about to see this unfold here a little bit, and I want to talk about wisdom path. If you've been around me for any amount of time, you hear me talk about this all the time, because I have found that actually the way we get out of trouble is wisdom from the Lord, but it's usually a path. It's not just one bit of wisdom that solves all of our problems, but the Lord gives us a path that we begin to walk down until we climb out of that situation, sort of like walking out of a wilderness. And so Joseph began to find that for his life. Now, First, he found it by just being faithful where he was. So God gave him a voice, even in that prison, even that dark place. So big deal, I got a voice in the prison. Well, maybe you think that same thing about your job, or maybe you think that same time, maybe you think of your school that way, or where you live, or whatever your situation. You know, so big deal, I'm king of the house now. You know, I'm king of the left side of the house, or I'm king of the outdoors, or whatever it is. But faithfulness has this way of rewarding, but it also has this way of helping us finding wisdom paths. And Joseph's situation, you would think in that dark, dank prison, there would be no way out. But Joseph, because he was live on the inside, saw the way out just by being faithful in his gifting. And so picking up with Genesis chapter 40, we find verse 1. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt. Now, these guys are right next to the king. I mean, they're with him all the time. So this is the highest power in the land and over really several lands. He was a very powerful king and had influence over other countries as well. Offended their master, the king of Egypt. That's not a good guy to offend in any situation. Someone with that kind of massive authority over death and life in your case, if that needs to be. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, were being held in prison, had a dream that same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, why do you look so sad today? We both had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. That's very interesting. So you can see how he'd be in a place, well, I don't care about your dreams. I don't care about nothing. We're all here together. Who cares if you had dreams? But Joseph understood that he had gifting in this area. He had had dreams himself, and evidently his own dreams that he had had still were alive on the inside of him. And that's a very, very important thing. You know what? God's toward you in the light. Don't doubt in the darkness. And this recognizing these guys' dreams, in other words, engaging with them, tells you a little bit about the spiritual temperature that was going on inside of Joseph. And it's very, very instructive for us who maybe are in a very difficult place to make sure that we keep our own dreams alive, and also our spiritual temperature able and willing to help other people. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. Verse 12, this is what it means, Joseph said. I mean, didn't even delay. He had this interpretation right away. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. So he gives him this word. And this is all being done by faith. So nothing's happened so far. He's declaring it, but Joseph had enough faith to see, hey, wait a minute. I think I see a wisdom path. I think I see a way out of here. So he could have just given him the word and left it at that. But he says, you know what? When you get out of here, get me out of here. Because I know you're going to be right next to the king and favor is going to be restored to you. Just give him a word about me and this guy you met in prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. So he spoke up for himself. He was looking for this way out, and his presence of mind in that situation allowed him to begin to approach it. Remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. So interestingly enough, time goes on. 2 years later, Joseph stood calmly and confidently before the most powerful man on the earth and interpreted his dreams. What an amazing thing. So in the dream that Pharaoh has, he has this weird dream, and there's some fat cows and some skinny cows. And so the fat cows that he sees in his dream, there's 7 of them, they get swallowed by the skinny cows. And then he sees 7 really nice grain stalks, and they're doing well, and they get swallowed by some really thin, emaciated grain. And he knows this dream means something, and he's very concerned about it, and he's sharing it with everyone. And as we pick up with chapter 40, we find the story of the cupbearer informing him of this person named Joseph in jail. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with these two. Oops, sorry, I think I got the wrong chapter. I need to go to 41, sorry. Let me just pick up here for 41. Okay, so verses 14 to 16. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Now, why did he come before Pharaoh? Because Pharaoh tells this dream, and when he tells the dream, the cupbearer goes, hey, you know, I know a guy. And he's thinking about it, you know, and he says, oh, maybe I should just mention this to Pharaoh. And, you know, Pharaoh, to his credit, had some sense that this was ominous, that whatever was going on here, he had to get to the bottom of it. It was too dramatic of a dream. It's interesting to me, even with regard to this, I think about this a lot with regard to the culture we live in. The particular culture we live in does not have a spiritual worldview. It has more of a secular worldview. I think that's changing slightly, but dreams for us and these sort of spiritual phenomena don't register high on our scale. Maybe in some people's lives, but for most part, we're not a very spiritual people. But in ancient times and up until really recent history over the last couple of centuries, but still in much of the third world, people pay attention to dreams and spiritual phenomena a lot, curses and so on, and they have a spiritual worldview. They're very conscious of the spiritual world around them. They may not be conscious of God. That's our job to make them conscious, but they're very open to spiritual things. And so this is why it helps us understand, well, you know, why would this guy be so concerned about his dreams? Obviously, God was leading that way, but there was something else in the culture as well. He knew this was significant. He just didn't know what to make of it. So he appears before, so they dust Joseph up, get him there, and it's amazing. I mean, can you imagine what was going through Joseph's mind? He's thinking, well, like, wonder if I screw up. Wonder if I don't know what I don't understand. Wonder if I mess up. Wonder if something goes wrong. He might chop my head off or send me in there for even longer. I don't know. He could have been very fearful and intimidated, but this Joseph had nothing to live for. He had nothing to lose in this situation. So he was bold as a lion, but I think with the Lord, this is the way the Lord likes us to be. Even when we get things and we're not sure of them, and just to go in our leadings and to step out there, it's so important. That's how you know that you actually are hearing God's voice. And Joseph had tested this many times, so he was actually ready. Matter of fact, I think he expected something to happen, because I think he knew that the moment that he had dealt with this cupbearer, even though it was a couple of years ago, he knew he had opened a door. And so when Pharaoh called him up, he was ready to walk the next part of that path, even though, can you imagine? Dungeon to the most powerful men, or arguably one of the most powerful men in the world. He's standing right there before him. Can you imagine? And I think Joseph's remembering how favored he is. I think he's remembering all the other words that he had about people bowing down to him and so on, and his name he shall add, and the whole thing. And of course, with regard to dreams and stuff, he was fairly confident because he had actually given the right word before, and he was pretty confident in this particular area. Most important thing is, and can I just say this? I just want to say this over and over again. The thing that strikes me about this story is he was in a bad place, but he didn't let the bad place get a hold of his spirit. Where all things come from, where God speaks to us, where God shows us and gives us information to get out of the mess that we're in, where God gives us faith to step and take steps of faith, and God to honor those and for us to be blessed. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. That's a huge scripture. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That means that to please God, you got to take risks. You got to be stepping out there for other people's life, for your own destiny even, to fulfill your destiny. That scripture is really dangerous, because it helps us to understand that actually to get into our destiny, to move into prosperity, even grace, it's going to take some risk. We don't like risk. We want to do everything without risk. But in God, and even outside of God, most things that require that cause promotion take risk. So again, I'll read from verse 14. So Genesis 41. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can hear a dream when you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And I like this so much because Joseph's standing there, and not only does he got the presence of mind to talk to Pharaoh, but also he has the presence of mind to remember where he came from. He really had a real relationship with the Lord. And his relationship with the Lord made him bold. And he realized he was not just there representing himself, but he was representing the Lord. And that's the amazing thing about our lives. Whether we're promoted or not, we're always representing the Lord. And he had the presence of mind standing in this place, thinking this may be his way out and being intimidated, maybe, and all of that. It's a huge issue. He's at the crossroads of his life, and somehow he knows it, but he says this, "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." He has the presence of mind to tell Pharaoh, "Hey, there's another God than what you've been worshiping. He's the God of the whole earth, and my God will tell you what you need to know." What an amazing, remarkable study this is. We think about it. He's staying in this place with Pharaoh. Not only is he not overwhelmed, but he's beginning to witness. He remembers that he's always on. He's always a witness. He remembers his testimony. And so, of course, that dream that I mentioned earlier is told to him. Look at verse 25. Then Pharaoh said to, as Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 good years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them, and then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land." What an amazing interpretation of this dream. And so they're thinking about this. They're colluding with one another. Pharaoh asks his officials, "What do you guys think?" And the plan seems good to Pharaoh and to all his officials, because Joseph not only talks about the dream, but he says, "You know what? Here's what you got to do." And so he just steps out boldly. And again, he's on the wisdom path to the solution to his own problems. If he's not bold here, he's not going to make it. They could just easily say, "Well, thank you very much. Thanks for your service. I'll commute a little bit, just a couple of years, and we'll see you later." No, here's what he does. He's got the boldness. He knows he's on. He knows he's in the middle of a blessing. He knows his performance is necessary here. And what's happening is the Spirit of God's rising up in him. Could I just say that with regard to this? God loves your work, what you do, and your prosperity and grace. When you prosper and do well, it glorifies God. And so he understood this principle. It was in the realm of the secular and with secular people, but he understood. And so he says this. He says, "You know what, Pharaoh? You should look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt, because this thing's coming and you need a person to think about what you should do and how you should unfold this plan." And it's verse 34, "Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain of the authority of Pharaoh." So he's giving a plan. So God, as he's thinking on his feet, is giving him a plan. He's just unfolding right in front of him. He's doing this all, you know, all in the spur of the moment. He had all of 2 minutes to think about it, but he's thinking, you know, this is what I would do. And this food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked him, "Hey, guys, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" And Joseph said, "Yeah, I was hoping you'd say that. I knew it." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so wise and discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." How does that happen? How does a person go from the dungeon to be in charge of the entire land of Egypt? That's how fast promotion can happen in our lives. It's a tremendous lesson for us. See, the question Pharaoh was asking And what the world's looking for today is found in Genesis 41, 38. Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? The whole world's looking for someone like that, even right now in our current crisis. We have an enigma today. We have this COVID crisis, and no one knows when it's going to end. It would be nice if somebody could give us a time frame on this thing. Is this going to be around next month? In the fall? Or next year? Because how we plan makes all the difference. This is going to be over in a couple of months. Let's just cut everything that we're doing, you know, and just sit and isolate ourselves. And then this goes over, and then we'll be okay. But this is going to be around longer. We're going to have a different strategy. And that is actually the question of the day. How long does this last? We need some voice, somebody to tell us. Somebody needs to rise up. Someone's needed to answer this deeper question. See, the modern world, as modern as it is, as great as it is, still has these enigmas and problems. And they're all over our culture, all over every culture. There's always problems. But guess who we are? We are the Josephs for this world, full of the Holy Spirit, ministering in thousands of different locations as God uses us to bless the world. We are the Joseph Company. What an opportunity. So that's why I've been telling our people, and I just want to say it again here today. Okay, we've got this COVID crisis and a few other things. This is our opportunity. As depressed as I get about it, and discouraged about not meeting and doing this and the things I used to, I have to admit and I have to understand, just from the wealth of Scripture and understanding that I have from my own life, this is the church's opportunity. It's not a painful time for the church, like we're being persecuted. And there is some persecution, but listen, it's an opportunity for God to do His thing through us. It's an opportunity for all these Josephs that we are to rise up in our own companies, our own place, our own schools, wherever God's planted us, and say, hey, this is what God's saying. We might not put it that way, but look, I think this is the wise thing to do. Why don't we do this? You know what? I think we're going to find that God will back us up in this. Joseph knows exactly the interpretation of this dream. And Pharaoh, somehow or another, buys it. I think people are desperate. They're looking for answers. They'll buy what we have to say as well. If it sounds reasonable, if it touches that space, if God prepares them, and I believe that's what God does. On the other end, He prepares people. On the other end, He prepares them to listen, to hear what we have to say. The only thing missing on our side sometimes is the boldness. We cannot be caught in the flow of this culture, this depressed, discouraged, fighting culture, bickering over everything. We can't be caught in it. We have to get caught in the flow of God like Joseph did. We have to see the possibilities. See, the story is that Joseph found a wisdom path for his life. His life was not doing well. But when the opportunity came for it to change, he saw it. But not only did he see it for himself, but there was trouble coming for the entire region, even far back home for his own family. There was big trouble coming. Joseph saw it. He saw it before it even came. He was raised up to tell the world, hey, look, this is coming. Let's prepare. Let's get ready. And the thing I love about this story is not only did he have the prophetic word, but he had the prophetic wisdom for what comes next. This is part of the Joseph Company. Not only that we are prophetic, but that we are wise. I believe this anointing rests on all believers and will rest on us more and more as the seasons go by. This is why this word is so important. We need to join the Joseph Company now. You know how you join the Joseph Company? You get in lots of trouble and let God help you figure it out. And you get your confidence from that. You don't go, whew, man, I'm glad that's over. I don't ever want to go through that again. That's a dumb way to look at your problems. No, you look at your problems and say, wow, thank you, Jesus, for getting me through. I learned a lot through that. Help me. Help me to understand, Lord, what I'm supposed to do with my life now. And help me to be a witness and testimony to other people to help them in situations where they're at. Make me a witness. See, this is all part of the Joseph Company. So the current crisis, my guess is, will prepare us for other crises that will come. This won't be the last one. There'll be other things. I'm not prophesying another COVID crisis. I'm just saying, as sparks fly upward, so there's trouble, right? Ecclesiastes said something like that. And so that's the way it is. But the thing is, in all these times, can you imagine how great a opportunity this was for God to get his name out there? And God got his name out there big time across the face of the whole world. And that's what he's doing today through the current Josephs in this world. So the thing is, we don't dry up on the, though our outside may dry up, our inside stays fresh, aware, connected, and always thinking, no matter what, that we are part of the answer to every problem our culture is facing. And we certainly are. You know how I know this COVID virus is going to end? It's because we've been praying for it to end. We're part of the Joseph Company. We affect and change things like that. So I want to just talk about some defining characteristics of the Joseph Company that God is birthing today and has birthed in every age. First thing is, we're not self-preserving, not strong in ourselves, what I mean by that. We are secure people. Man, Joseph was secure. Not only does he I can't do it, but God can. God will give the answer. But then after the word's given, he doesn't wait around to see their reaction. He gives them a plan. He says, of course this is God's word, you know, before they even say anything. And he says, look, this is what you should do. If I were you, this is going to happen, so this is what you do. You point this really wise and discerning guy. And I think he smiled real big. And Pharaoh, they're thinking about it. Well, hey, you got the Spirit of God. See, the thing is, can we find anyone like this man in whom is the Spirit of God? The world's asking that question right now. And I'm not talking on a cosmic scale. In your jobs, in your work, in problems facing cities, can anyone find someone filled with the Spirit of God? The problem that we have right now in our culture is the spirit of the devil. So many are voicing in the atmosphere. But the Spirit of God's there. And we need to bring his voice into the equation. Can anyone find someone that's got the Spirit of God, that has the real deal, that can really give us wise advice and tell us what to do? Yes, it's us, the Joseph Company. But you know how you get there, how you become the Joseph Company? You have a real relationship with God. And so it turns out that Joseph wasn't just bragging, but he actually had a real relationship with God. And so in this relationship with God, we find some inner work that God does. And they're related actually to the outer work that he wants us to do. It's highly significant as we read through these passages. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. This is Romans 8:14. The Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit you receive, does not make you slaves. Interesting. That's what Joseph was. You know, he was a slave on the outside, but he wasn't a slave on the inside. The Spirit you receive does not make you a slave, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. You become a son of the Most High God. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. But that sonship is not just a legal thing. It's not just a power trip. It is a loving thing. It is a fatherly thing. Our King is our daddy at the same time. Oh, when you lose sight of that, you don't become a very good problem solver. Something in Joseph understood favor. He had the favor of his dad. He had the robe he wore. He understood that his name meant he will add, or God adds. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. He had that internal thing settled. But look what else the Spirit says. It testifies with our spirit that we're God's kids. And if you're God's kids, now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We are heirs. That's political. I'm going to inherit something. That's authority in the earth. We're co-heirs. So we, by the ministry of the Spirit on the inside of us, are secure people. Joseph was a secure person. He says to Pharaoh, look, you know, I can't answer this, but God can, and God's inside of me. Tell me your dream. And then once he does that, he says, you know, I got the answer to the dream. This is what's going to happen. And hey, by the way, I'm available. Oh, he didn't say it outright. But that was the second step of his wisdom path. Remember I told you wisdom's like a path when you want to get out of trouble? So he realizes, oh, okay, here's my next step. I'll give this little suggestion here. And that's how he got out of jail. I believe in all of us, God, I want to just say this again. When you're in trouble, God brings wisdom. sometimes we don't recognize wisdom. Even James tells us, he gives us abundant wisdom. We don't recognize wisdom because we're not willing to take the first step. He doesn't give it to us all at once. Many times he has us take this journey, and in the journey, he causes the most wonderful things to happen. Our confidence grows. He gives us information. We learn things. So God takes us on lots of trips, wisdom trips, we could call them. But at the end of it, we become secure people. That's how David was in the Bible. He slew his lions. He slew his bears. And then came Goliath. He got his confidence. He got his confidence over here. And when he really needed it in the calling and destiny of his life, he was ready. Don't minimize your bears and your lions. They're necessary so that you can go after Goliath and your destiny. And that's exactly what's going on here, right? Also, I love this passage. And this is the inheritance of every believer. And we know that in all things, how many things would that be? Dungeon things? Yes, even in dungeon things. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Joseph was called according to God's purpose, and he knew it. And when the just slightest little light came for him to be about his purpose, he went right through that door. He went right into it, right into the light, and kept on going until he got out, which is really a remarkable story. So that's what we are. We're not self-preserving. We're not strong in ourselves, but we are strong in God, and that makes us secure. Second thing, we are worshiping and praying people, able to release God's mercy on the earth. That's so important. We're not just anybody. And when a prayer leaves our lips, something happens. Something changes. Oh, that I could just infuse even a little revelation I have on this subject to everyone, because I find that so few people actually pray. And when they pray, they don't pray with any confidence, any assurance, any authority. And actually, some people that look like they pray in authority and lots of confidence put us off a little bit because something doesn't feel quite right about it to us sometimes. But don't let that get you down. Think about this. Think the best way to start praying in confidence is begin to watch for the answers of your own prayers. I find this over and over again in my own life and other people's lives. They don't look for answers. So they don't have any pedigree. They don't have any sense of God's answer prayer because they don't pay attention. They get out of one problem, then they're into another one. They forget what happened. But your previous problems were meant to help you with the future ones. But all of that's connected together to bring you a destiny. Man's born for trouble, Ecclesiastes says, as sparks fly upward. But it's not random sparks. We can order those sparks. We can order that trouble to help us to release our destiny. And so one of the most powerful things that we can do to release our destiny is to learn to pray. And you learn to pray by remembering what God's answered before, because once you get the hang of it, you kind of like it. Now, wait a minute, this is a new problem, but I remember when I was in trouble before. So he says, verse 16 of James 5, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You think Joseph was praying a little bit in that prison? Oh, yeah. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I just like the way it sounds. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You think, oh, I don't have any righteousness. What, did you forget everything Jesus did for you on the cross? That's why he says confess your sins. When you sin, all you have to do is say, God, I'm sorry, because in Jesus you're clean, clear, and powerful. In Jesus you have this authority to go right into the throne room. And if you've got some baggage, say, God, I did it. Tell someone else you did it even. But get clean of it. So, because the bigger issue is that you can pray to be healed, pray for each other even, because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. How powerful, how effective. Then we begin to see the revelation. Well, Elijah, you know him? Remember him? He prayed a little bit. He was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly. It would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Elijah and me, yeah, we're just like this. How many feel like that right now? If you're not doing so well, Elijah's probably the farthest thing from your mind. You do not feel like very Elijah-like, perhaps, today. But this is the truth of the Scripture. That's who you really are. You're able to release God's mercy on the earth simply by asking God, praying earnestly. He prayed it wouldn't rain, and then it rained. Matter of fact, he made the mistake of telling the king, look, it's not going to rain until I say so. But God gives that same authority to his people. That's why his people need to pray this virus away, all of us in unison together with authority and faith. Don't complain and bicker and get your eyes on other things. Ask God to stop this right now. Stop the death, bring the numbers down, and bring this place back to normal. We have the authority to do that. That's what Joseph companies do. They pray with authority God's given them. We are a prophetic spiritual people, following the Lord's direction in a flexible way, according to the wisdom paths he gives us. By flexible, I mean Joseph had to follow the yellow brick road. First he ends up at Potiphar's house, and then he ends up in the dungeon, then he ends up in Pharaoh's house. Wow. Talk about being flexible. He could have said, I've had it. God, it was bad enough when I went to Potiphar's house, and then you let me get wrongly accused. Now I'm in this dungeon. I'm sick of you. What are those promises? They mean nothing. He could have said that easily. I'm just going to die. Matter of fact, I hope I die. No. Joseph was prophetic by that. He was watching for the way out. He was watching for the wisdom path. He could not imagine that a guy like him with so much going for him could end up in a stinking dungeon, and that's the end of it. He heard the dreams. He saw the dreams. They were vivid. He understood. He had prospered in everything he did. Even in the dungeon, he's prospering. There's just no way he can't get out of this thing. And so we are a prophetic spiritual. We're always looking for good. We're always looking for God's path. God has given us eyes to see and ears to hear. When you have the Spirit of God in you, you are a prophetic person. By nature, you have been given the Spirit of God, the same Spirit Joseph had. And you can hear God's voice. And he will speak to you. He will talk to you. That's why the Bible says you all may prophesy one by one. The New Testament side. What a remarkable thing. Matter of fact, you should especially desire that you prophesy. Because the word that you have inside of you is important for someone else and also for you. We are also a merciful and loving people. That is the Joseph company. Who are promoted by serving those around us. Joseph served. God promoted. Joseph served. God promoted. Look at Matthew chapter 23. This one also pretty well overlooked passage of Scripture. In our culture, people don't like to serve. Matter of fact, one of the problems that we have in being promoted is nobody likes to serve anymore. Nobody likes to take a step and serve and then be rewarded by God for it. Everybody wants to go to the top as fast as possible. Our greatest heroes are those that hit the button, you know, and got the right discovery or just in the right place, the right time, and are prospering out of their mind. But I tell you what, it isn't that simple. Almost all prosperity and grace we have in our life comes from serving. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. But serving takes humility. To work under another person is what I call a career. That's how you get a career. You get a career by working on another under a person, succeeding under that person and doing well, and then taking to the next step. A lot of young people don't know that. A lot of old people don't know that. The people that you serve can promote you if they're good people. So when you serve good people and you understand service and you're merciful and you're loving, you know, guess what? You get mercy. And God gives grace to the humble. We're an evangelistic people committed to promoting God's ultimate agenda on the earth. The conversion of multiplied millions of people in these last days. See, the thing is, Joseph in his time was about God's purpose for that nation, an unfolding plan of redemption. The question now is, what is the plan for the world now? And right now, I'm convinced more than ever, and I think the signs are everywhere. We are a generation that's living somewhat close to the end of time where God does the most amazing thing. He saves an entire generation of people. By that, I mean multiplied millions and millions, perhaps billions of people in one generation. That's why Matthew 24:14 says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, and then the end comes. I believe it's a reference to the end time. In Matthew 24, as Jesus is talking about various seasons that are in the future, he skips around. He comes to immediate time where Israel is about to be destroyed, but he's skipping ahead. He skips away, way into the future. And I believe this generation is upon us. I have seen things in the last 10 years of my life I never dreamed I would see. We've been a part of a movement over the last 20 years that has seen 1 million people come to the Lord and 20,000 churches started. That's just one little movement that we've watched grow up and been intimately a part. We've been with it almost since the beginning. And even from our own church, we saw the most amazing things. We've planted 1,500 churches, and actually 300 more were just in the process of being planted. But in those 1,500 churches we planted in the last 2.5 years, over 50,000 people have committed their life to Christ. 1,500 churches have been started, and over 600,000 people were preached to. How can that be? How can these numbers be? They can be because we're in this season. And places like Iran and other places around the world are experiencing unbelievable revival underneath everything. There is a major outpouring of the Spirit. We are in the season of the end. We are in this season. It's really important. And we are evangelistic people. As the Joseph Company, our first thing is the evangelization of planet Earth. That is the assignment of the church of this generation. Think, well, what about me? What about you? You can go anywhere in the world. But you can even just give a little money like we have. We figured out the converts that have been made cost us about $450 a person. Just think about that. If I'm right, if I mean right even at $10 a person, think about that for a moment. You mean I just give to this certain apostolic ministry, this organization, I just give over here and out come converts? Yes. Quickly. It's not because of their greatness. It's because of God's agenda in the earth. And right now, what God's lining up in the earth is they're lining up Josephs all over the place. A large Joseph company who understand how to prophesy, who understand how to prosper, and understand how to put the pieces together. So this mighty thing happened. God gets what he desires in the earth from every tribe, tongue, and nation, including Israel and the Muslim nations. What a time we live in. My. So we are an evangelistic people committed to God's ultimate agenda on the earth. That's who we are as the Joseph Company now. Interestingly enough, in the Joseph Company, it's marrying right now those that have tremendous authority in business in the marketplace with those who have tremendous authority in the spiritual realm. I'm meaning apostolic figures and pastoral figures, and marrying them together to cause this incredible result. And one of the offspins also of it is not only the conversion of multiplied millions, but also benevolence on a level we've never seen for the poor and the weak and the broken. Last thing, defining characteristics of the Joseph Company that God is birthing today. We are loyal people. We serve God first in all we do. We serve God first. No matter what the famine is, no matter what the thing is, God's first. No matter what it is that's going on, a plague, whatever is going on, we get our instructions from heaven first and we react accordingly. And I want you to know with regard to this virus, so I read like everyone else. I watch the news like everyone else. But I want you to know that so far, the way we've been guided, we've been guided not by this or that first. We've been guided first by what we felt God wanted us to do. And we will continue to do that no matter what. So that means that we don't have to go this way or that way. We just do what God gives us light for, and we just take the next steps. And that's what you could do in your life. And increasingly, it's going to be important for the church to take steps like that. When the government impinges upon us and rules and laws and things, we have to figure out our place. And it's not coming from a legalistic place. It comes from a living, active relationship with the Lord. We are loyal to the Lord to the point that we want to hear his voice tell us specifically what to do and when. That's how loyal we are. We're not just loyal to a group of principles that it might have worked over here, but are not appropriate for this, but God's full of his word and it all harmonizes together through the power of the Spirit. We are a Joseph company. We are a prophetic company. We can hear the voice of God. And we have something to say about what God's doing in the earth, both from a distance and up close, as we engage the church all around the world to do God's work. There's nothing more important than the arising of the Josephs that God is bringing together in this time period of the world. And they will increase. And I believe God will also give the church wisdom and understanding of what's going on us on a level we never have had before. Part of the modern day prophetic movement is all about that. Seeing, understanding what God's doing. We're taking our first steps. We're not always accurate. We're not always there, but we're taking steps. We're like a child. We're learning. And these famines and things that we go through get stronger and stronger. We learn, hey, we missed it over here, but we got it there. Yes. And as a church worldwide, I believe we're beginning to get our marching orders, more and more, getting it right, more and more, and understanding our destiny, just like Joseph did for his time. Amen. Lord, I want to ask you, as we finish this service, I'm asking you that you release wisdom paths to everybody that's in the sound of my voice, wisdom paths of how to get out of the dungeon. And into a place of destiny. We're going to do a little worship here at the end. I want to do it just so you can meditate on these things a little bit. Don't let this be just another message to you. Make it personal. There's a way out for everyone. And I'm praying that even as we worship here, and just pause for a moment, God will multiply my words inside of you. And you'll get an idea, a thought. Hey, maybe I could do that. Hey, maybe you'll get a phone call tomorrow. And you'll, aha, that's it. Lord, I pray you'd help people recognize how to get out of their dungeons. Limited places, places they don't want to be in. And into places of destiny. Make them your Joseph company. I pray to hear these words. You put them on a path and they would recognize a step and another step to get to where they need to go. I pray, God, that you would do this sovereignly, powerfully in people's lives. God, speak to us in a new way. And we pray, Lord, over the crisis that we're in and our church's place in it. Just keep giving us guidance. Guide us with your voice on us, Lord, your hand on us. Talk to us so we can hear. Show us, Lord. And show our entire nation the way to go. God, you prophesied to Pharaoh and he obeyed. Lord, I pray our leaders would hear our voice. Hear the voice of people put in place, Joseph's put in place to tell them, hey, why don't you try this? If you do this, God will bless you. I don't know the way to go, but God does. Amen.